So when you hear the name Jesus, what is the image that comes to mind? What do you think of? First thing, you know, probably what's interesting is we all have different images in our mind, and I'm reminded of a movie back in 2006 that gave multiple images of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you a disclaimer as I tell you the name of the movie, because some of you may want to go see it. I'm not advocating going to see the movie. I'm just simply saying there's a really funny part in the movie, okay? How many of you, actually don't raise your hands. Anybody remember this little movie with Ricky Bobby, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights? Yeah. Okay, some of you have seen the movie. All right. Well, what I'd like to bring you to is a moment in that movie where they're at the dinner table, and Carly has called down everybody to come to dinner that she's been slaving for hours, and that she's got this buffet of Pizza Hut and KFC and the all-time favorite Taco Bell down there on the table. And they're seated around the table, and Ricky Bobby gets ready to pray. And he starts praying, says, Dear tiny baby Jesus. Little infant, tiny baby Jesus, thank you. And he goes into this prayer. And on multiple occasions, he uses that phrase, baby Jesus. And Carly says to him, says, honey, stop. He grew up to be a man. Then the conversation started. It was Walker, not Texas Ranger, but Walker's the one who said, those were the son's names, by the way, in case you didn't see the movie, but actually, like I said, I don't advocate going to see it, but anyhow, Walker says, I like my Jesus to be this ninja that takes on the samurai. And then his buddy Cal, so I like my Jesus in a t-shirt. I see Jesus in a t-shirt and wings and singing backup for this band. He starts to pray. Dear tiny infant baby Jesus, 8 pounds, 6 ounce, bald fist, and it goes on this. Finally, Grandpa's had enough. He says, stop. He was a man. He had a beard, you know. But it was interesting, all around the table, everybody had a different image or perception of who Jesus looked like. Now, in case you want to go see this, let me give you some advice. You can go to YouTube, but if you do it, you type in these words, okay? Baby Jesus prayer, add the word clean. Because it has been cleaned up. They're used it in churches for a number of years. So here's the deal. If you don't put in clean, when you put baby Jesus prayer, you deserve to get what you get on your computer. But if you put clean, it'll be clean. It'll be. We could show it here. You know, it'd be clean. But it's the images that people have of what Christ looks like. I want to share with you an image of Christ that I think is important as we journey to the cross in our series, The Cross. And this morning, look at the work of Christ, as we've looked at the person of Christ last week. But I think there's a picture that probably needs to be painted. In fact, I want you to know something about my Jesus. My Jesus is not a wimp. Did I have some amens on that? Amen. My Jesus is not a wimp. And for some reason, we've kind of colored him or pictured him as a wimp. You know, it's like in church, we like the Lamb of God, but we kind of exclude the Lion of Judah. We like the Lamb, we like the touchy-feely, the grace and the love and all those kind of things, and that's all true and that's all right, but there's a whole other side to Jesus that we don't often talk about. And that's the fact Jesus wasn't a wimp. Now, if you're a wimp, that's okay, be a wimp, but Jesus wasn't a wimp, okay? He just wasn't. Think about this. Jesus was a carpenter. He learned how to build things with his hands. He's used to moving things around and putting things in places. He's used to being outside. Here's another thing. How many of y'all remember those teaching kits that they had in Sunday school? You taught Sunday school. I'm going back a few years. But it's like when you taught Sunday school and you had the convention stuff, convention press back then, I think it was, and you got these teaching kits that came with it, and the teaching kits had all these pictures in it. You remember those? Why is it that Jesus was always pale, flowing blonde hair, blue eyes, and that boy had the nicest nails of any woman in town? Why? You know, chances are, and I'm like 99.9% certain Jesus wasn't pale. And I'm probably 99.9% certain Jesus didn't have blonde hair. And I can tell you 100% as a carpenter, no way that boy didn't have calluses all over his hands, cuts and bruises and abrasions. And nails, he probably hit a few off. But yet we have this picture of this anemic, weak Jesus. And Jesus wasn't a wimp. Jesus rebuked and called out demons out of people. He rebuked them and literally sent demons out. He stood between those that would cast judgment and cast stones, between a woman that was caught in adultery. He stood up for her. Jesus, you remember, he went to the temple and there were some people that were trying to sell stuff in the court. Jesus didn't go in there and say, listen, guys, I really appreciate the work you're trying to do. But just in the spirit of cooperation, would you please move your things outside of the temple? Sister Susie didn't like this and just really thinks we ought to take it out. Did he do that? No. He went and grabbed a whip. He took a whip and he chased it. He knocked tables over. He was aggressive. He was in your face. How many times does he tell the righteous religious crowd, he rebuked them? How many times did he call and stepped into somebody's face and told them to repent? Yes, he is the Lamb of God, but he is the Lion, tribe of Judah. Jesus wasn't a wimp. When Jesus came, he knew exactly his purpose. He knew exactly his role. He knew exactly why he was here. And he fulfilled it. Now, when we talk about the work of Christ, there's some pieces to Scripture that I think speak, and we kind of need to divide it out. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Just really what it means, the work of Christ. Matthew 20, verse 28 says that Jesus, as the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not that verse. Jesus, as the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom of many. The idea of when Jesus came, he didn't come to be waited upon. He didn't come to be cared for, but he came to minister and he came to address people's needs and he came to give of himself. When Jesus came, he came to serve and he came to give, and it was the purpose, and it speaks of his work. It speaks of his work as he walked the earth. So how do you illustrate the work of Christ? I see the work of Christ in a couple of ways. One is that when we talk about the work of Christ, we see Jesus as the revealer. Jesus as the revealer. He is the one who reveals truth. He is the one that speaks out God's truth and God's word, because he is God, fully God and fully man. And so he speaks with authority. He speaks with righteousness. He speaks with truth. One of the classic examples of noting this idea of revealer, a prophet, is after Jesus has been crucified and after he's risen, there's some men, Cleopas and a friend, that are traveling down the road to Emmaus. And as they're traveling down the road, they're having a conversation about all the things that had transpired while they were there. And Jesus approaches the scene, kind of walks in behind them, and as they're talking, he's listening, and they're talking about the things that they'd seen in the city and about the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus asked him, what things are you talking about? And in Luke 24, verse 19, they said to him, they said to Jesus, as he asked about what things, They said the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Do you realize Cleopas and his friend recognized and saw that Jesus was a prophet? This idea of prophet, the word for prophet, literally means one that gives declarations from God, one who represents, one who speaks for God. So the idea is that Jesus is this revealer. He speaks for God. He speaks on behalf of God. He speaks. He is God. And he speaks, and he speaks truth. And so as we see the work of Christ, we see him as a revealer, one who speaks truth into life and truth into situations. He reveals God to man, God's purpose, God's future, God's teaching. Hebrews 1:1-2 talks about this prophecy and this speaking that Jesus does. When it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken, in other words, to speak, to say, to tell, to us in his Son. He has spoken to us in his Son, who he appointed, deposited the heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The idea is that God spoke through his Son. His Son becomes the revealer. Jesus says in Mark 1:38, I have come in order to preach. He speaks in John 18:37 that he came in the world to testify about truth. He says in John 4:18 that he was sent to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind and to release the oppressed. In Mark 2:17, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. The idea of this revealer, this prophet, that Jesus' work, his work, is revealing truth and giving truth. He is God, fully man. And so he speaks truth. But I also see Jesus the reconciler. Not only in the work of Christ are we talking about Jesus the revealer, but we also talk about Jesus the reconciler. The idea of reconciliation is bringing two parts together. The idea of bringing a part unto another. The idea is removing that in which separates or that which somehow causes less than peace. So the idea is bringing two together, bringing one, removing what separates. In Colossians 1:19-20, we read, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, meaning Jesus, to reconcile all things to Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Making peace, the idea of making peace is literally to remove that which separates. Do you know what's interesting about this reconciliation business is that God made the first move. Do you know how cool that is? I don't have to make the first move. God's already made the first move. He's already made the first move for you. He's already stepped out. He has given his Son. His Son's role was to reconcile, to remove that which separates man from God and to bring peace between. And so God stepped out first in order to reconcile you, us, to himself. That's why Christ came. He came to bridge, he came to remove that which separates man from God, to reconcile. So we see Jesus as the revealer, Jesus as the reconciler. Now think about this. Hebrews 7:25-27 says, therefore he is able also to save forever. How long is forever? Forever. That's a trick question, okay? Those who draw near. Therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save forever, completely, those who draw near to God through him, since he is alive and lives to make intercession on behalf of them. Jesus makes intercession on behalf of you. Not only is he reconciled, but he makes intercession for you. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, that, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus is the one who reconciles you to the Father. Jesus is the one who intercedes on your behalf. He is our priest. He is our priest forever. He has reconciled us. By his blood on the cross, we know his peace. The third piece, or the third idea of the work of Christ, is really Jesus the ruler. Jesus the ruler. Colossians 1, 17 through 18 says, He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is before all things. He existed before all things, and all things, everything, holds together in him. He is also the head of the body, the church, and the beginning. He is the firstborn. In other words, has the rights of the firstborn of the dead. He has control of death. And that he himself will have first place in all things. Jesus rules over all creation, both now and forevermore. When Jesus came, he came to speak of his rule. He came to speak of the future and his role. The question is, if this is the work of Christ, if Christ is the revealer who speaks truth from God, if Christ is that one who reveals truth, if Christ is the one that reconciles, it is because of him, of what he did on the cross, that reconciles us to the Father, that removes that which separates us and brings us peace in our relationship with him. If it is Christ that rules both now and forevermore, how does that impact us? How does that affect where, where we live in Mechanicsville, Virginia? How does that deal with where we are? The first thing, Jesus came to reveal truth about the Father and about his purpose. That's that role of revealer. And the reality is, everybody in this room is looking for truth. Everyone in this room is looking for truth. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for some idea of constancy in their life. And the idea that Jesus is truth and Jesus speaks truth, we're all searching for it. So the truth and the truth discussion is that if Jesus is truth, then look no further. There's no reason to look any further for truth than the one who is truth, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the revealer of truth. He is truth. And so for us, that is great application for today. The second thing is that Jesus came to reconcile and restore man's relationship with God. And Jesus was the only one that could do this. It couldn't have been another priest because they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins before they could offer sacrifices for somebody else. And it could only be that spotless lamb. And it could only be God himself. It could only be Christ, the Son of God, that dies on the cross, whose blood is shed, who reconciles us, who removes that which separates and brings peace. Jesus is both our reconciler and our intercessor. We are all looking for a way. We're all looking for a path. We're all looking for a direction. God's best for you, God's path for you, God's direction for you is found in Christ. Again, you don't need to look anywhere else. Nowhere else. But then this ruler piece. Jesus came to reign, not in the ways that people considered as a ruler of that day and time. He was more than an earthly king. He was a spiritual king. And he reigns now and forever, and he is the forever king. And the beautiful part about that is there are no changes in administrations, no changes in monarchs or rulers. He is Lord of all forever. Jesus is. And so when we think and when we talk about the work of Christ, Jesus is the revealer. He reveals truth to mankind. Jesus is the reconciler. And he removes that which separates man from God and brings peace. But Jesus rules. He is ruler, and he is Lord of all. The work of Christ. Let me ask you another question. Kind of where are you spiritually today? Where are you spiritually today? I mean, physically you're here, you're sitting in this room, but spiritually, where are you? What is it that's going on inside of you? What are the distractions that are happening? What are the things that are holding you back? What are the things that are keeping you from being all that God has called you to be? Do you realize Jesus said that if we believe in Him, He would give us life. Did you know that? That if we believe and trust in Jesus Christ, that He would give us life. He promises life when we believe. When we believe and trust Him, that He promises us life. Do you know what life is? Life is this adventure that He has promised to give us, not only here and now, but in the days to come. It's the hope for eternity. But it isn't that God saves you and lets you sit on the sideline for now, and He just says, I'm holding you till later. God enters you into the adventure of life. Because, you know, do you realize when the disciples were called to Jesus, do you remember what Jesus said to them? He said, follow me. Follow me. The idea was, I'm going someplace. I'm going and I'm doing and I'm going to show you and I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to produce in your life and I'm going to show you purpose and follow me. Jesus says, if you believe in me, I give you life. He promises adventure and a future. And the idea is that Jesus says, follow me. Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Jesus promises you an adventure if you follow Him. And there's no better adventure in life than when we choose to follow. Because the part about following, and we've talked about this before, is literally when we're following, we're walking alongside of Him in conversation and talking, and He's teaching, and we're listening, and He's mentoring us, and there's fellowship, and there's relationship, and there's all that stuff. We learn and we grow as we follow. See, I think a lot of people in this room, you've believed and you have life. But you know what's missing? The adventure. I think there's some people that are struggling spiritually that they've said yes to Jesus and believe in who He is, but yet are still holding back following Him. It's something about just not wanting to let go, holding on as if, you know, it's just like, and I've been there and I know this. You know, I've been there where I've stood at the back and I've held on to the pew. And of course, we don't have pews in here. We have chairs, but I've held on to the pew. And there's something about pews. Pews are a little more stationary than chairs. You hold on these chairs too hard, you're going to walk out with them. So you got to be careful if you hold on too long. But just to hold on and not move. There's some in this room this morning, Jesus says, saying to you, follow me. Follow me on the adventure that I have for you. I'm calling you to missions. I'm calling you to ministry. I'm calling you to teach. I'm calling you to serve. Do you know what? All you have to do this morning is let go. All you have to do is let go. And simply follow. Jesus has promised you an adventure. And remember, my Jesus ain't a wimp. And it's going to be an adventure. He's called you to a future. The question is, will you follow him? Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you pray with me? Father, we recognize today that there are spiritual battles going on in the room. There are strongholds and there are, Lord, things of our life that keep us from moving forward. And I recognize in this room today, Lord, there are people that you are calling and simply saying, follow me. Well, they've trusted you, they've signed up for life, but yet they've yet to know the adventure of the follow. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would remove all that would hinder somebody in this room from following you today. Remove fear. Remove stumbling blocks. Remove the worries in order that they can sign up for this adventure as they follow. Lord, no doubt that you're calling men and women in this place to a greater service. And so, Lord, as we listen to the challenge today, we consider your call upon our life. And to you today, Lord, we say yes. Yes, we will follow. Thank you for being the revealer of truth, the true reconciler, the redeemer, and to being the ruler of our life. We love you, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we come to a conclusion, we're going to have an invitation. That means that we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And it's your opportunity to respond to what God perhaps is calling you when he says to follow me. I recognize that in this room are going to be people that have never believed in Jesus Christ. You've never taken a moment to simply trust him, to place your faith in him, and accept this gift of life that he offers. Would you do that today? Would you trust him today? Would you place your faith in him today? We'll be standing, singing. I'm going to ask you to come walk to the front. I know that's kind of, I don't want to do that. Jesus says, follow me. Let me tell you, this is the best runway to walk on of any other place. Because you're standing among believers who are excited about your decision to trust and to follow him today. So I invite you to come this morning. Others, God's speaking to you about being a part of this fellowship and being a part of Cool Spring. We invite you to come. Same thing, man. Just step out from where you're standing. Meet us here in the front. Simply say, I'm choosing to be a part of Cool Spring. God's called me here. Hey, I like that. God's called each of us here. But I recognize that there are people that are struggling in this room with following him. Remember, Jesus is truth and the revealer of truth. Whatever you're holding on to that's keeping you away from truth is untruth. So choose truth. Jesus is the reconciler. He is the one that removes that which separates us from God and brings peace. And he is the ruler. You know, there are a lot of people that think they got charged today, but someday they'll find out differently. There is only one who rules, and it is Christ. See, when you choose to follow him, you're following truth, you're following peace, you're following the boss, the ruler. Would you let go today and follow him? I mean, really follow him. He's calling. You come as we stand and sing this morning, Glenn.
Just as